Today, we find ourselves back in Genesis here on Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon to introduce today's program.
I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Shouldn't that then inform everything that we do? Sometimes we are our worst witnesses by refusing to live by faith, and we demonstrate before everyone a lack of trust in the Lord. How do I know? Because the first thing you do when you're stressed is you pick up a phone, and you're not on your knees.
Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Thank you for taking a few minutes to join us today. We trust it's well spent and that you go away encouraged in your walk and relationship with Christ. We find ourselves back in Genesis today. We're focusing in on chapter 21, verses 22 through 34. Kings, kingdoms, and one Lord over all. Really encouraging look at just who our God is. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon now with today's broadcast.
We this morning come to Genesis chapter 21. I found a challenging section, but I'm not going to dodge it. That's the beauty of preaching through books. You have to take what comes next. So, 22 through 34. At that time, Abimelech and Pichol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, "God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned." Abraham said, "I will swear." When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today." So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set seven ewe lambs of flock apart. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs that you have set apart? He said, "These seven ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well." Therefore, that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Pichol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. May the Lord bless the hearing of God's word. There is something that is said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4 that I believe really captures this morning the main point and the thrust of what this passage is all about. Paul writes in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham was strengthened in faith. That's it. That's this passage. What Paul is saying is that there was in Abraham's life a strengthening that was happening as he was learning in all circumstances to trust the Lord, that the Lord would do what he had promised that he would said he would do. You know, this is something that God is continually after from his servants and his people. The frustration with the pilgrim life is that it doesn't feel like much of it is strengthening. I mean, honestly, we read Pilgrim's Progress, but it feels more like Pilgrim's Regress. It feels more like we're going backwards. It seems more like we're not going anywhere, but we're taking giant steps backwards, and we're deeply concerned about this. And that has certainly been a problem in the life of Abraham, hasn't it? It's a story of human struggle with the promises of God. It's a struggle with faith in the promises. God had said over and over throughout Genesis, and we've seen this, he keeps saying it, that he would do his word. He would accomplish his word. He would send his promised son. And that in Abraham, all the Gentiles, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And God says, I'm giving you this land, which we know is a sketch, if you will, a type or a shadow of eternal life, the true heavenly land. Abraham's fought against this. Oh, Abraham has really fought against this. And all this fighting that we've seen in Genesis has resulted in all kinds of setbacks for this man, hasn't it? He lied twice about his wife. And then in chapter 16, you remember, and it's so important to set these in front of us again. In chapter 16, his wife and Abraham, they were tired of waiting. And so they said, let's do it ourselves. And they raised up a seed themselves. And last time, what did we see happen to that son and the bondwoman? Cast out. Abraham, I want you to send him off. Do it. And the New Testament picks that up, and the New Testament applies that, and the New Testament says, this is illustrative of something. This is symbolic of something. It's teaching us something about us. It's teaching us about our human efforts. And it's teaching us that we too in our lives have to cast away everything that is incompatible with a life of faith. Everything. Let it go. Cast it off. Now, I want you to think about where we are now in the life. This is a life study of Abraham. Where we are now in Abraham's life. The bondwoman and her son are gone. An astonishing thing has just happened. A miracle. A son has come in their old age. He's 100, she's 90. Even then, that was unheard of. And this was not just any son. This, in contrast to Ishmael, this is God's appointed son. This is the son that God gave them. This is the promised son, foreshadowing the Son of God. Now, there's a question this morning. Here's the question. What kind of effect did this have on Abraham? What kind of effect did this have on Abraham? The arrival of this son has changed everything. We've been building to this for a long time. And it's almost as if we've come today to an entirely different Abraham. I've been tough on Abraham. I have no confidence in the Adamic nature, by the way. He's been a do-it-yourselfer. He's continued to try to do things his way. But what I believe about the text here, and what I believe the text is showing us now, is a kind of contrast that is going on with Abraham for us to see something that is hard for us to see about ourselves. What is it? We're going through this life, and at every point, we're trying to find our own happiness. And we're constantly reverting to doing things our way. And we come here on a given Sunday, and let's be honest, our hearts in it. Does the week demonstrate that your hearts are in this today? The honesty, if you're going to be honest, is you really do give him scraps. Kind of token. Got to be here. And the striking action in this story, the striking actions are not from Abraham or from us. It's the Lord. He has been just overwhelming. And this is what we should be seeing as we look at this study and we study what the Lord has been doing. He never stops working. He is absolutely relentless. He is relentless in fulfilling his word. And look at this over and over and over. The faithfulness of God and the kindness of God and the grace of God, which we still, even though we say we're saved by grace, I'm not convinced we've really grasped it the way that we should. This is a lifelong learning process of what grace is and what it looks like and how it operates. Beautiful. And God has not backed off, even with all this failure, from fulfilling his word in Abraham. And this is starting to overcome Abraham. You know what's happening? He's beginning to trust the Lord's word in a very beautiful way. Sanctification is happening. And I suppose we could say, in light of what the New Testament says, that we see developing in Abraham great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Or we could say with Ephesians that Abraham is demonstrating boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Confidence, boldness, strengthening. That's what the Lord's teaching us today. I struggled with this text, and it dawned on me that the answer to understanding this text is seen in what I call the great bracket. In chapter 20, Abraham travels after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he travels, and this was really discouraging to Abraham. That's the sense we get. He travels, and he goes to the land of the Philistines, and he meets this great king, Abimelech. Right after this is the birth of Isaac and the casting away of the son of his own flesh. Immediately after this, you've got Abimelech showing up again. So Abimelech before the birth of the son, Abimelech after the birth of the son. And what's different? That's what we all should be seeing. This is a strange place to put this. Why in this kind of format? Why this structure? What is it showing us? The text is highlighting not Abimelech, but two different Abrahams after some time. It's highlighting what Abimelech has noticed about Abraham. It's highlighting what Abimelech sees about Abraham. Remember what happened? Abraham really struggled living in this world. It's a mess. It is an absolute mess. And as you go through, you see this. And Hebrews picks up on this, and Hebrews explains the life of Abraham, and it says that Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. This land he's in with the Philistines is his land, but he's dwelling in it as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And then it says, for Abraham was learning this, but he was waiting for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for another city. He looked for the fulfillment of these promises, the heavenly land that would come down, Revelation 21. And there would be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness would dwell. He is now living in faith in that promise as a stranger and a pilgrim, waiting for that, waiting for the days of that to come. But that's not easy as we wait. God has made all these promises. And think of these promises. I'm going to save you. I will give you an inheritance. Look, east, west, north, south, it's all yours. It's all yours. I'm giving you a son. He had to live in this world in the midst of that. Wait. And Abraham is pictured going through, really struggling as a pilgrim. Really struggling as a pilgrim. You know, who can we trust? Is there truth? Knowing what we do about people and wickedness, and remember, he just saw Sodom and Gomorrah get toasted. And that was devastating for him. Be devastating for anyone. And you begin to think, and you have this mind that's been open to the truth of reality, and you're seeing things the way that you should because you have a redeemed mind, and you're looking out, and you're seeing the wickedness. You're seeing how bad it is. You're seeing what's going on. And you begin to think, can anyone be trusted out there? Who do I trust? You ever notice how that entire shift in our culture has happened? I mean, do you leave your doors unlocked at night? Somebody just nodded. They must live up in the sticks. There's been a shift in our society. We don't trust anymore. Trust is lost among neighbors. I don't let my kids play out in the front yard. There's a whole series of things that I don't do now. And yet society really has to be built on trust to some degree, doesn't it? To go forward. You put your money in banks. We have to believe, well, look tonight at government, that its purposes are right. We have to trust that because the Lord said that. God has enlightened our eyes about the problem of humanity, and we're bombarded with wickedness, and we don't trust. Abraham in the pilgrimage has had that problem. And he comes to Abimelech's territory, and what's the first thing he says is, there's no fear of God in this place. And fear of man overcame him. Remember that? And so he tells this lie to save his own skin. And it ended him up in the greatest mess ever. But all because he living in fear of what the world is and what it had become. The fear of man instead of the fear of what? God. And he's scared about Abimelech's kingdom. And now God had said to him in chapter 15, Abraham, do not fear. Abraham's had this sin struggle with fear. It has been a sinful reaction of fear to the world. And God had said to him in chapter 15, don't fear. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. I have surrounded you. No fear in this place. And that resulted in a lie. And he did this to Pharaoh. And now he's done it to Abimelech. Do you remember the promise to Abraham? Abraham, you will be a blessing to the nations. The channel of blessing comes through you. That's what he says. Couldn't God protect him? Couldn't God help him? Abraham sees him wipe out Sodom. He sees the wickedness. He thinks there's no good, no good. And he gets a little bit of the Elijah syndrome. I'm the alone one left. Well, as he dumped off his wife, Abimelech gets a death dream from God. And notice how this Lord is Lord over all. He enters the dream of this powerful king and says, you're a dead man. Look at the protection. Well, I am your shield. And Abimelech comes to Abraham and says, what have you done to me? What did I do? Why are you treating me like, what did you see in me that caused you to do that? And put me under that kind of curse before God. I think about this. It would really be shocking if we looked over the course of our lives. The things that we did and the choices that we have made, living for gain, being greedy, living for security, living for protection in this world, living for money, how much we probably have actually hurt unbelievers along the way. You ever stopped and thought about it? Because what he did was lie to save his own skin. And if you ever read something like Psalm 121, you begin to think, what if I actually lived believing this? I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. You let that set in? I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Shouldn't that then inform everything that we do? Shouldn't it? Sometimes we are our worst witnesses by refusing to live by faith, and we demonstrate before everyone a lack of trust in the Lord. How do I know? Because the first thing you do when you're stressed is you pick up a phone, and you're not on your knees. Now here we are. The shocking actor in this story is the Lord. Chapter 21, he gives the son. All these years of agony, and 100 to 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman holding it, that's unheard of. News is spreading in the realm. This is getting out. If you think our grapevine's bad, you should have been in the Philistine grapevine. They are talking. Calls were going out everywhere. Rumors of a coming deliverer and a king who would be over the land. This was known. This had been promised. Every king's nightmare in that realm. Every king's nightmare. And all of a sudden, Abimelech hears about it. And the first kingdom, first time kingdoms ever mentioned in the Bible, it says it was Nimrod's kingdom. And then the second time kingdom is mentioned is here in chapter 20 and 21, Abimelech's kingdom. We have kings, we have kingdoms. Here sits in this territory one king. And all of his servants, Abimelech, are looking at this king, Abraham. And he has just born a son. Here's the heir. That is it. You know how kings always wanted a son. You know how many kings in history put to death their wives because they wouldn't produce a son. here's one at 100? And his servants see that, and they start stopping up his wells or taking his wells of water to push him out of the land. They want him out of the land. Moses writes this, and he wants us to see this connection, because at that time, notice how what it says, right at that time, as soon as the son is born, Abimelech comes with his king, his commander of his army, Pichol. He's there. This is a mighty nation. This is the Philistines, and he is positioning himself. Listen, when you're a mighty king and rumors are spreading about someone in your territory of a mighty deliverer who at 100 has the heir, what do? You take him out. Abraham was deathly afraid of this king and his kingdom, remember? And that brings us to the great moment in verse 23. Abimelech comes. I want you to just look at 23 first. We'll back up in a minute. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. Do you know what he's asking? Abraham should be asking him for protection and kindness. That's not who's coming. And this is a remarkable moment. Notice who's come. This king essentially asks Abraham that he would not harm him. I don't want you to harm me and my, he's looking to the future, and my posterity. Be kind to us. I've been kind to you. Be kind to me. This is an amazing moment. It's baffling. But the whole thrust of the passage, the whole heart of this passage is seen in his first words out of his mouth. God is with you in all that you do.
So the question is, do people see you in the same light? God is with you. Is your life that evident that folks will actually say that? Well, the reason we exist is to encourage you down that path so that your life does reflect Christ. Now, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return in just a moment to give us a look at tomorrow's program and what we have in store for you then. A couple of quick reminders as we let you go today. You can always reach out to us with your questions, praise reports, or comments. And an easy, exciting way to do so is to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question or your praise report. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question or praise report on the air, we'll make sure to let you know when that'll take place. We also like to remind folks that our program is listener-supported, which means we're able to come to you on this specific station because friends and family members of this program, such as yourself, get involved financially and prayerfully. Your gift is tax-deductible. No size is too big or too small. Whether it's a one-time gift or an ongoing gift, it makes a huge difference as we continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this program. Reach out to us, won't you, at agradio.org. You can give securely online at our website, or you can call us at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, as promised, I look forward to tomorrow's program. Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
There was a well that Abraham had dug. Wells in that day were a real source of life. And Abimelech's servants had tried to push Abraham out of the land because of that well. And Abraham rebukes Abimelech for the injustice. And the Christian with boldness should always be able to speak against injustice, because we share the conviction of our Lord. Big conviction. And so Abimelech concedes at this. This covenant is made. Sheep are given. Here's the point this morning. Abraham now has the very first physical proof that God has given him the land. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. In one chapter, what's happened? The son has come, a king, the greatest king in the region is bowing, and he is given a down payment on the land. This is a remarkable chapter. God gave a taste of the rest that is his. And do you know, every time you come to worship, When you come to worship, you're getting a taste. You're getting the well of living water.
That's the encouragement we'll focus on tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.